wonder what those sparkling dots are up there?
Pumbaa, I don't wonder. I know.
What are they?
The fireflies. Fireflies, they got stuck in that big bluish back thing.
Gee, I always thought there were balls of gas burning billions of miles away.
Pumbaa, with you, everything's gas.
Welcome to the podcast that is guaranteed to improve not only your photography, but your mind, body, and spirit as well. Full of interviews with the top image makers in the industry, where we talk photography, drink whiskey, and fill up the bathtub with High Life and PBR. So grab a juice box and a handful of unsalted almonds and get ready for the show.
In this episode, we are sitting down with someone I've never met in person. I've known your work for a while. And I love these interviews because it's just different. When you've never actually physically met someone and talked a little, it's quite a bit of a different experience than some of the other ones. So I'm also joined with David Parrish, but our guest today is Isaac Alvarez.
What's up, you guys?
How are you?
I'm good. I just got to ask that intro. Christopher
Walken.
Is that really Christopher Walken?
Do you want it to be Christopher Walken?
I want it to be.
Well, then it is.
It is. It was amazing. Oh, my gosh.
Just wait.
Awesome intro.
Wait for the outro.
I love it. I love it.
No, it's there's a variety of really good voice actors, yeah, as you know, and a lot of the ones on YouTube. I've, over the seasons of the podcast, I just kind of had fun with it. I've reached out to certain people or like professional. He's actually a professional voice actor. And just, you know, send them a script. And for really not that much money, you get a really good, you know, several pages of things. So then you can, I've been, you know, over time, like cutting them, like kind of recutting them together and making them shorter, using them for different things. So look, we've done entire seasons of like Game of Thrones characters introducing people, then like wrote the intro using photography, but in the voice of
Jon Snow
or something.
Oh, my goodness.
We've done Morgan Freeman, Sam Elliott. So just kind of a nod to those awesome, like, I love voices. I love accents.
The Sam Elliott ones, it's legit. He sounds like Sam Elliott.
And I love voices, and I love trying to recreate voices. So anytime that I can make, like, a voice that I love say something I want, that to me is like, this is great. This is my kind of art.
Well, I don't know if it matters, but I can do a great Pumbaa and Timon voice.
Now it matters.
Let's do the rest of the podcast.
Okay, have you ever you seen the movie, of course, right?
Yeah.
You know that scene when they're looking at the stars?
Yeah.
Right? And he goes,
"Hey, Timon! You ever wonder what those sparkling dots are up there?"
Pumbaa, I don't wonder. I know.
What are they?
The fireflies. Fireflies. They got stuck in that big bluish back thing.
Gee, I always thought there were balls of gas burning billions of miles away.
Pumbaa, with you, everything's gas.
Yes. Oh, we just leveled up the podcast.
We leveled up.
I've been waiting for that button for 8 episodes, and it finally happened.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you are welcome.
Can I have you say one thing?
What?
Can you start the song, "When I Was a Young Warthog"?
When I was a young warthog!
Yes, this is maybe the best start of a podcast of all time.
There you go.
So yeah. Isaac, can you kind of explain the type of work that you do? What kind of art are you into?
That's difficult because, you know, photography is a lot of sense of art, right? I mean, everybody has their own taste and own, you know, direction when it comes to either portraits or weddings, whatever it is, right? I think I derive my art from, like, paintings back in the Renaissance, you know? And I love paintings. I'm a big fan of the Renaissance era, and I just love recreating the lighting back then. And I think that's how I got started with photography, is because I love, you know, recreating portraits and just, trying to extract the essence of the emotions out of the character. So with my art, it's just mainly emotion based instead of portraits. I would consider it emotion based.
And are you more of a photographer or director?
I would say a storyteller.
Storyteller.
Yeah, because even when I shoot my subjects, it's a lot different than everybody else, right? I tend to listen to emotional songs in the background. And what I do is I just let loose on the conversation. So I ask about their childhood. I ask about their, you know, ups and downs in their life and their successes and all that stuff. So, and that creates what I capture on film or on camera.
What are you doing more of?
Right now?
Yeah.
Right now, I actually transition into film directing. So I've been directing for about 5 years now. I directed a bunch of commercials, documentaries, music videos and whatnot. I actually won a bunch of awards directing commercials for corporate commercials. There's this award. I don't know if you ever heard of the Telly.
Yeah.
The Telly. I won like 12 of them. It all started when my client submitted it behind my back without me knowing because I didn't know what a Telly is. So they submitted one of the commercials that I did for them. And then all of a sudden they called me up and they said, hey, Isaac, you just won like 4 Tellys. I'm like, what's a Telly? And they go, dude, it's like the Emmys but in corporate awards. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. You know, and they sent me this gold Telly award and it sat on my computer and I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I won an award, you know?
What was the work that you did that won it?
It's like a mini documentary for a real estate commercial, like an architect commercial, right? I can send you the link afterwards, but it's basically putting a twist on interviewing architects and people that create the houses or build the houses and shooting it in an interview documentary style and then shooting B-roll of the property.
Interesting. And they use that.
They use that as a commercial.
Yeah. So how long was it?
It was like a 5-minute video. That's
All right. That's a long.
Pretty short.
For a commercial.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Have you ever done, documentaries that aren't commercials? Just, you know.
Yeah, I did. I got hired by NBC to direct documentary about arm wrestling.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was interesting. It aired on Thanksgiving last 2 years ago.
So what was the first thing once you got that project when you're approaching this big subject that's probably pretty interesting and fascinating? Like, what's the first thing you do?
The story. The story is the one that drives me, you know? What is the story about? What's the experience of other people throughout this, whatever story it is, right? But story is king for me. I mean, that's why I love photography so much because I listen to the people's story. You know, I kid you not. If you point at a specific portrait in my portfolio, I can tell you the conversation that we were having based on that portrait. Because I remember it because that's what we were talking about, you know?
What do I need to know about arm wrestling that I don't know about?
Oh, my God. There's, like, so much.
What is...
There's so much. Like, there's, like, ways where you have to hold your hand so that you don't have to break them.
Yeah.
Like, people are really hardcore
closer,
about it.
So,
oh my God.
It's funny, when in our last studio, our neighbors that lived basically below us to the right, we'd see all the time because there was a little common space.
Yeah.
It was architects. And they had an arm wrestling in their space. They had an arm wrestling table.
Yeah.
I remember being in there once and I'd be like, what? Like, these are like stand-up guys that wear suits and ties. I'm like, if anyone should have an arm wrestling table, it's our studio. But we didn't. I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, yeah, we're all into arm wrestling. I'm like, what is going on? And so, like, he was telling me that, yeah, you got to keep it as close to your arm as possible.
Yeah.
And the more that you extend, the weaker you are. Yeah. I'm like, so you guys just go out and do this? He's like, well, I don't do it much anymore. I got arthritis now from it. I'm like, good Lord. You got to really love arm wrestling to want to get a table.
It's got to be your sport.
You know?
I mean, it's a tough, like, I've seen females go through arm wrestling. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm totally freaked out.
Yeah.
It's really insane.
Are you a good arm wrestler?
No. I mean, going back, right, 2 years ago, I actually popped my bicep.
Oh.
So that's
doing it.
Look at that. That's the scar. So what I did, not doing arm wrestling, it made me so much fun. No, it was actually lifting a couch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it was like one of those heavy couches that has a motor inside that can, you know, put your feet up.
Wait a minute. It has a motor?
Yeah, a motor when, you know, you push a button, it goes up. Okay, yeah. A recliner.
I was thinking about a different kind of motor.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
There are wheels on this?
Fast Five.
I've been doing couches wrong.
No, but what I've learned is that when you extend your arm, that's when you pop a bicep.
Oh, right.
So you got to keep it.
You got to keep an alligator arms.
You got to keep it.
Keep the T-Rex
together.
Going.
But anyways, when I popped it, right? It's funny because when I popped it, I looked down. I heard a pop. I looked down and I saw my bicep all the way up here.
Oh my God.
And I got cold chills. I was like, what the fuck? And then I was like, oh my God, let me sit down for a bit. So I got my phone. I Googled it. I go, my bicep just went up my shoulder. It says broken, torn bicep, torn bicep, torn bicep. So I'm like, okay. So I went to the ER and just got it fixed. But yeah.
Just went to the ER and got it fixed. And just walked in there and they're
duct tape. Hey, dude. I got a broken bicep.
You got to reach up there. How long did that take? Sew back together.
It took like about 3 months to heal.
Oh, yeah. It's going to take way longer.
I was still filming, though. I was like
Wolverine.
Still like fucking like doing my thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it took 3 months to heal.
So did you start as a photographer or with video?
I started as a photographer. So it's funny because I actually started in retail, right? I used to work at Best Buy. I went up the ranks. I went from a senior to a supervisor to a sales manager, and then owning my own, like getting my own store, right? Ran a $3 million box, right? But I felt for years, I felt that I was getting tired and tired. So I think what triggered it is that subconsciously I gotten myself fired for some reason. So one day, I was closing the store, went home because I was so tired. I was done with retail. Came back the next morning. Regional managers came in, and then they said, oh, Isaac, we got to sit you down. I go, okay, is something serious? I'm like, and they're like, yeah, it's something serious. So they sat me down. They said, we're going to have to let you go. I go, why? What did I do? You left the safe open. So leaving the safe open in the Best Buy is just really annoying.
I didn't know there was a safe in a Best Buy.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a lot of money in there, you know? Yeah. So you can't really leave it. And I was the manager on duty to close the store.
Yeah.
So I was done. They said, okay, you know what? Here's your last check. You know, that's it. I go, wait a minute, before I go, can I get a discount on a camera? That really happened. Wow. They go, yeah, we'll hook you up with an open box. So I got somewhat new Canon 50D. I don't know if you remember this.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 50D Canon.
I think I had that one. I think that's what I had after the T3i.
Yeah.
And I got a 50D.
Yeah, it's not
and
even
then I got
full
the 5D.
Frame.
I was like, wait, I thought this was a 5D. There's an extra zero on here.
It's going down.
No, it's funny because when I got it, right, I was so excited because I was the go-to photographer for family events, for like everything, you know? Oh, take pictures. But I didn't realize I was a photographer. So I got the camera and I was so excited because I said, now I have a good camera to shoot family events, whatever. But it sat in my box. Put it in my box, put it on in the closet and stored it for like about a year. I started my own business as a website builder, right? I build websites from scratch, like HTML coding and whatnot. And then from there, I think a year passed by, and one of my clients said, hey, Isaac, can you start taking pictures of our products? And I'm like, yeah. I mean,
how hard can it be?
How hard can it be? I have a camera. And I'm the type of guy, if you ask me something, if I could do it, I'll just say I could do it and then research.
Figure it out later.
Yeah,
it's like David.
Figure it out. Yeah,
I do the same thing.
Right?
Yeah.
So
you should see the repair bill. This is ridiculous. Sometimes. He has so many Home Depot points.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like, fuck it, I can do it. I can spackle that.
I think every guy can do it. Like, yeah, he can do it.
I can change your engine. No problem.
Never done it. Let me get on YouTube.
YouTube, yeah, exactly. But anyways, went back to my closet, got the 50D out of the closet, dusted it out. I go, I don't even know how to use this. So I YouTube everything. And then from what I've learned is that I need lighting, you know. And I checked out the lights, so expensive, like $3,000 a light and whatnot. So I did what a normal guy would do. Think outside the box, right? So I went to IKEA. I bought myself two lamps. And I got a white T-shirt, cut it in half, used it as a diffuser, and used that as a product lighting shot. And after that, I shot it. Came out pretty decent. The owner goes, oh, that's amazing. Okay, you can shoot the rest of the product. So from there on, I said the key to photography is lighting.
Yeah.
Lighting.
Yep.
You know, if you know how to light it.
The fruit of the loom lighting is the best.
Fruit of the loom.
The bed sheet lighting. I mean, that's how we all learned, you know? I think the first lights that I bought were, I was like, shit, I can get these really. These lights from Home Depot, they look pretty bright, you know?
They are.
You get them, you're like, wait. You know, this is hot. It's really hot.
They
have
some pretty legit LED panels and stuff now that you
like
can
40, 50 bucks.
You can attach it. You have this huge LED panel. You can attach a little dimmer to it. Yeah. And you're like, bam, you're constant golden. Light. And they make a whole crap ton of diffusion for those fixtures.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could build a wall using those lights for pretty cheap.
Yeah, for sure.
That would look dope.
Yep.
I mean, for probably less than $2,000, you could huge wall outfit them. Yeah. Some drywall. Like, we didn't think people were going to put this on a wall, but...
But we are now.
You can do that.
Yeah?
Liquid nails coming out.
There you go. So that's how I got started.
And that's all she wrote.
What made you switch to people?
That's all she wrote. Huh?
What made you switch to people? Like, how did that occur?
Same client asked me to shoot this with models. And I go, how am I going to get models? I don't even know how to get models. So I literally typed in at Google. I said, how do you get models? And Model Mayhem popped up.
That's what
I used. Casted everybody in Model Mayhem, you know, paid everybody a fair range of price and then shot it with the product, lifestyle shots.
I love that.
But I did fell in love with shooting people because I feel like, you know, extracting emotions is my forte.
Yeah.
And as soon as I worked with a model, I go, okay, you got to do this, you got to do that. Instead of doing this, do this, do that. It's just like trying to get that right emotions in front of the camera is like gold for me.
Just for the record, if you Google how to get models now.
You
get on a list. You get put on a list.
Yeah. No, it's all a bunch of blog posts for real. It actually came up with the right thing. But I was getting a little scared. I was like, what is this going to come up with?
What do you think ChatGPT
how to get models? Yeah, what does ChatGPT say?
I don't know.
How do I get models? Go to a fashion show and you are pretty.
Let's talk about how you're getting clients. How are clients finding you for new work?
Now or before?
No, let's go to now.
No, it's just a word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
I mean, word of mouth. It's. I mean, I don't even use any of my social media to get clients. I don't use my website to get clients. Just sitting there as a tool. For people to view, but getting my clients now is just word of mouth. I mean, you know, shooting celebrities, shooting editorial for magazines and shot celebrities, and relationship building is the key, because having those relationship kind of gets you closer to them and say, okay, this is my guy, my go-to guy for photos or my go-to guy for video. Let me refer you to my friend. Let me refer you to my coworker and whatever. And that's pretty much how I get work.
I'm jealous. Yeah. A lot of people put a lot of work in. So clearly you're doing something right. And I think there's a big message there of like the quality of work that you do really can compound over time with, you know, clients referring you. So,
I mean, it didn't start out that way, you know?
It doesn't for anyone, right?
Yeah. You know? I think the biggest thing that really helped me in my career is personal work. Personal work will get you clients.
Yeah.
I kid you not. One time, me and my buddy said, okay, we don't have any clients. We should just be creative. Just make something to create and show people how we can utilize our creativity and help them in their process. So what we did, we said, let's shoot a watch. Let's shoot a watch at a junkyard. And he goes, okay, well, I can film BTS for that, and then you can do the lighting. But you know what? Let's make it a challenge. Let's shoot a watch at a junkyard with minimal gear. And he goes, okay, let's go. So we went to Ross, look at the glass shelving, and found the watch. It was Kenneth Cole, right? So we got Kenneth Cole. We shot it at the junkyard. I'll send you the YouTube link to check it out. But we made a video about shooting a watch in a junkyard with one light and a macro lens. That's it. We shot it, made a video of it, put it up, and then all of a sudden, all this watch company started hitting us up saying, we'll pay you to do our campaign. We'll pay you to do our campaign. And I kid you not, Kenneth Cole himself reached out to us and said,
Mr. Cole,
said,
Senior Cole,
dude, I love what you guys did with a watch. Can you guys do a campaign for us? Dude, I kid you not, like personal work, anything creative, just do it and it will bring you work.
For some reason, I didn't think Kenneth Cole was a real person. I thought it was just a made up name. But when you said that, I was like, oh, he's real?
He is real.
How old is he?
I don't know. He's like 50 something. I have no idea.
How's his voice?
Old guys.
Old rich guy.
Is his voice as smooth as his clothes?
Rusty. A little rusty. Yeah. Right.
So do you have any personal work that you're planning now?
Every personal work that I have right now in the bag is more narrative filming.
Okay. Right?
I have two scripts in my bag, just trying to finalize the script and putting it in front of the camera. So those are the two major projects that I'm working on. Other than that, I think that's taking up my time.
If you had $500,000, you could do anything you want with any production, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. See, I see money as a tool, right? Money is a tool to fund your art. So if that's the case, I would make a movie towards like a nonprofit that will make an impact in the world. You know,
for the greater good.
For the greater good.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah.
That's a good answer. It's better than I thought it would be. So how do you use weeks like WPPI to your advantage? What do you do when you come here?
I think it's just networking, right? It's meaning old friends. I mean, I don't know if you guys know Clubhouse, but I met pretty much everybody that's here.
That's where Clubhouse. We've chatted.
Yeah, we
pretty
chatted
extensively.
WhatsApp.
Yeah. Like
you guys had a WhatsApp moment?
We've actually known now. I know, like we know. Yeah. We spent a lot of time on. Yeah, we spent a lot of time on Clubhouse.
David, shame on you.
No, we spent a lot of time on Clubhouse.
Yeah. We just talked about Clubhouse. Two episodes ago.
Yeah.
Everybody,
we did. We clubhoused our asses off.
I mean,
off
I would
long.
Make rooms.
Yeah.
We would have like 500, 600 people in there, and we would just talk about photography.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
All right. So as someone who probably has more experience with Clubhouse, is it still rocking?
No.
Are you using it?
No.
Is anyone using it?
I mean,
there's definitely people. I still get alerts, so I know people. Like, I know people in our community that are still, you know, still.
I know
doing
Nicole
stuff.
Is still.
Yeah, she. I don't know if she's. I think. 7 I don't know if they're. I don't know if they're. Yeah, they still do
the 7 a.m. walk.
The 7 a.m. walk.
Yeah, I used to listen to them on my 7 a.m. walk.
I used to do too. Is go for a walk
as a non-talker. Right?
Non-talker. It was fun. That was a good show.
It was.
I just couldn't maintain it.
I just can't believe they didn't sell it for, what, $4
billion? Oh, when, you know, you're talking about the whole platform.
The whole platform.
Like, Nicole got offered $4 billion for that.
And they said no? Yeah. And now it's not worth $4 billion.
It was Facebook, right?
Yeah, I
Facebook,
think it was.
Facebook if wanted to buy it.
Now it's got to be not worth $4 billion. But it might.
I mean, it's still a powerful platform, I think. I mean, the concept is still super cool. I mean, it's, again, basically podcasting that people can jump into.
Yeah.
It's an amazing format, but, you know. I don't know if it, I mean, we tend to listen to podcasts and stuff like when we're driving or we are trying to be like, I'm not totally focused. I'm semi-distracted. You can't do that when it's live. You got to kind of pay attention to the show.
Yeah. Oh, man. Clubhouse was the shit back then. 2020.
Yeah. It was the only thing we
10
had.
10 years ago in 2020, yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was the only thing we had.
We used to make rooms left and right, man. Yeah, it was good times.
So, talking about COVID, how was COVID for you during the pandemic? Like during that time, which was unique and also very similar for everyone. How did you survive? What did you do to keep
positive?
Funny
because, like I said, going back to personal work, right? I remember clearly that month, March, all my clients dropped. They said, we can't hire you anymore. We're cutting down. We're not doing. Literally, I had no clients. So I was listening to the news. It was all COVID. It was all negative, right? And I called my buddy up. I said, hey, dude, I want to start this project. I said, are you down to do it? And he goes, yeah, sure. What is it? I go, look, I'm going to FaceTime you. And what I want you to do is I want you to get a piece of paper and write something on the piece of paper. You know, for example, like, you know, what are you going to tell the world? So he goes, okay, I'm good with that. He goes, he wrote in, I miss going out to cafes and getting my coffee. Got that up. I FaceTimed them, took a shot, right? Another friend I called and I said, I'll do the same thing. I miss seeing my grandparents. Took a shot. From the way it started out with 20 people. It ended up being over 300 people that I'm FaceTiming.
Wow.
Over the span of like 3 weeks, right? Yeah. From there, people started calling me. Hey, Isaac, dude, I have a job for you. Hey, dude, can you do this for me? Hey, dude, can you like film this for me? And then all of a sudden, all I did was work throughout 2020 because of that project. And then that project, you know, got into some articles, got published in, you know, Italy, Spain. It was like all over. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting jobs because of that. And going back to what I said about personal work is you can't just put aside personal work because personal work will get you work. You know?
Yeah. Seems to be maybe the number one way to get new work, yeah. Especially like the work that you're going to love.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the refinement process. Yeah. I mean, that whole time you're shooting stuff, you're perfecting your craft, you're moving things forward. Yeah. I think, I mean, without it, like if you were just waiting for gigs, also for gigs, somebody else is giving you input, right? They're telling you what you have to do versus like, I just want to be imaginative. I want to get out all the creative juices. I don't know. Maybe I want to see what a giant chicken would look like on the table. So I want to photograph that for a little while to see what it's like.
Do you want to?
No, we already did it.
Should we get a chicken?
I've seen it on film. Giant chicken's on the table.
It was pretty big.
It was huge.
Weird. I'm trying to picture it.
During a podcast, Gary slapped a chicken in the middle of a table.
I didn't slap it. The producer brought it because he found it on Craigslist.
Bought
it
was a just kind of
like
chicken.
His joke. We had this joke on about this. Yeah. Chicken during a podcast. He's like, you want a chicken? I'll get you a chicken by 3 p.m. today. I was like, get a chicken.
Oh, my God.
We were in a podcast with Chris Knight and Lindsay Edler. And in the middle of it, Josh shows up and just puts a chicken on the table. And then there's this chicken roaming the table the whole time. There's actually video of it. It was great.
Oh, my God. I got to see that.
Yeah. Chicken's still alive to this day.
Where is it?
It's in St. Louis. Lives at Josh's house. Pays rent. It's great.
He kept the chicken afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. How could you not?
Yeah. I would keep the dinner. Chicken too.
See that or cordon bleu.
And yeah, dinner.
Yeah. See, the problem is once you name it,
it's
done.
Yeah.
You can't let it go.
What was its name?
I don't remember.
Fred?
Yeah, it was Fred. I think it had the big hairy, like, or feathery paws and everything. Like,
Fred the hairy chicken.
Yeah.
Fred the hairy chicken. Chicken. He was very subconscious about it. In chicken school, chicken elementary school.
Yeah, when he was trying to and get he grew his chicken certification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going from a chick to a full-on chicken.
Now he's the only old chicken there is.
Yeah.
You know? Good owner. Is this a story you want to shoot? Are you interested in this,
developing this chicken story? We'll rock a chicken out right now.
From podcasting chicken to just staying alive on the farm.
Did we ever find out what came first, the chicken or the egg? Is that we got to know what that is, right? Is that something we don't know?
Depends on whether you believe in evolution or creation, I guess.
Oh, there you go.
If you believe in a creation, chicken came first. End of story.
Fair enough.
If you believe in evolution, I got to still think the chicken came first because it was changing from a snake or whatever the hell it was before.
Then it laid the egg.
Eventually, it became this creature that had it things this way.
I like how you explain things, man.
Well, you got me thinking about it. When you got to get philosophical, now I need to know.
Yeah, this is nice.
Now, me and Isaac have spent an ungodly amount of time talking in groups.
That's wild. You're in the middle of this podcast. You're like, oh, this Isaac.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was trying to put the connection to, because it was more to voice, obviously, for reasons.
What's
and I was that? I was like, I have talked to him before. Yeah. And honestly, I wouldn't have connected you from Clubhouse to your work, which I should have, because I remember your Clubhouse picture being like one of the dark portraits.
Yeah,
and everything. So, but I didn't connect it until you mentioned Clubhouse, and then all the memories came flooding. I was like, there's the voice.
There it is.
All right.
Which about your portraits, I got to say, segue there. You do portraiture pretty uniquely, and that is that you tend to have more darkness and shadow than you do light. What made you gravitate to this direction? Because most portrait photographers are arguably all about light. Like, I got to have this big, huge, soft light source or whatever to make it painterly. I would argue you've achieved a lot of painterly, especially Rembrandt style, dark edges. But you've achieved this painterly look, but in the exact opposite of way everybody else is doing it.
Can you when you explain this? Can you explain it in the Bane voice?
Bane. No, I can't do Bane. Okay. Maybe Pumbaa.
Because he was born in the darkness.
No, sorry. But anyways, going back to that, I think what I see, right, is mystery. I love mystery. You know, I love looking at movie posters that are dark and mysterious, and makes me want to go see that film. I think that's how it started. It's just having the mystery behind the portrait and kind of just pulls in the audience from looking at it. I feel like there's a lot more mystery in dark.
Yeah.
You know, instead of lighting your subject up fully so that you can see the face, I feel like, you know, mixing that emotion and putting a mystery down it, and it gives the audience kind of a sense of what the hell is this? You know, I did this. I don't know if you've seen this series called Reflection of Me, but it's a series of, it's funny how it started too, because I called 20 of my friends and I said, hey, dude, I want to photograph you and your dog, but I want to put your dog's head in your body, right? And the guy goes, how are you going to do that? Trust me. So I got 25
of
my friends. Yeah, 25 of my friends coming in with their dogs.
Oh.
And then I put their head in their body.
Yes.
And that went viral. That went crazy.
I've never seen this.
Yeah.
This is great. All right. Knowing what you know about David and I, what type of dog would I be? What type of dog would David be?
Oh. Maybe a golden retriever?
I'm pretty loyal.
Yeah, and hairy. Yeah, he gets hair everywhere. Yeah.
St. Bernard?
Ooh. Even hairier.
St. Bernard or a husky?
Ooh, I like huskies. When they start talking, it's the most adorable thing.
Yeah.
You ever seen one be auto-tuned?
No.
Oh, my God. Just search husky auto-tune. It is great. They make whole albums out of them.
Have you ever seen those dogs that have those buttons and they actually speak?
That's crazy.
I was
crazy.
What the hell?
Easy, calm down.
Come on, you're taking this to the next level.
Yeah, Rufus.
what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the dog is cooking everything and the owner is outside, chilling in the backyard.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah, but that project was mainly dark, right? Mainly that essence of dark.
How many treats did you go through to get these?
Oh, my gosh. Petco actually sponsored us. So Petco.
Is that where the pets go?
Yeah, that's where the pets go. So they came in with a bunch of treats, right? And they filmed everything, and they just, like, they were in the corner just giving treats to the dogs. And they said, oh, yeah, we love doing this stuff. I don't know how many bags they went through, but, yeah, they went through a lot of bags.
Oh, look at all the good boys.
Yeah.
All right, so where do people go to find your work? And then
I mean, my website, isaacalvarez.com.
SEO. I wouldn't think you were the very first one to pop up. But you
are there any famous?
I don't know.
Isaac Alvarez.
I don't think so.
But
no,
there's none that I know of. But to know that, like, there's not an Isaac Alvarez lawyer or you know, whatever. Like, yeah, he's got. You type it in. He's number one.
I got the field. Killing all of these Isaacs off.
You know,
he finds them and disposes of them.
I guess the viral
Walter White, Mr. Heisenberg.
The exactly viral right. Dog blog has got, or the dog shots got to take him up a notch.
Yeah,
probably helped a lot.
All right, let's end this podcast on another voice. I'm hoping you have another one. What's your other voice that you do? Oh,
That's it.
That's it.
I never worked on any other voice.
Well, you don't need to, because that was awesome.
I know.
Well?
Good. Can you record just like an outro in that voice?
Yeah. Well, right. What do you want?
Whatever you want. Go for it.
It's got to be a fight between.
Hey, Simone. Thank you for listening to Pro EDU. This is the shit.
Well, that's all for today's podcast. Join us next time for more interesting discussion about the wonderful world of photography and her dark magical secrets. I'm fascinated with Instagram. It's such a simple construct. Just take a picture and post it on the internet. The other day, I took a picture of my neighbor's pet rabbit. He told me not to post it, but, you know, I did anyway. Wow.